Well, for all, I'm going to say it like we do in Alabama, all of y'all that don't know me, my name is Tony, last name Boyd. I'm originally from Alabama. I've been up here about 22 years, and I'm still a country boy. I go home, everybody say, man, you ain't changed a bit. I said, why? You can take the boy out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy. Amen. If you was listening to your spirit doing prayer, praise and worship, and what Nikki just talked about, it's all lining up. It's all lining up. This message that came to me, I struggled with it. I'm like, it's sort of something, you know, it's always something, God, that you're using my athletic career to give me revelation. And he said, that's what I gave you. That's what I gave you. So why you fight it? Why you fight it? So I really want you to listen to this. I'm going to give you the title of this. The message is The Cost of Victory. The Cost of Victory. Struggle with that. Oh, God. Can I say, give me something else, something different? The whole night I tossed and turned. The whole night. Nothing. The cost of victory. As an athlete, the ultimate prize, I wore my championship ring for a reason today. As an athlete, this is what we go for. This is what we blood, sweat, and tears for. This is what we blood, sweat, and tears for. But there's a cost to getting that. There's a cost to get to that championship. Just like it was a cost that was paid upon the cross 2,000 years ago. You missed that. We take that for granted sometimes. We take that for granted sometimes. That was a price nobody else could have paid. Nobody but Jesus Christ himself. And we take that for granted at times. Think about it. We get comfortable. And being an athlete on a team and you're trying to stay on a team and trying to get a position, told you it was going to line up. The devil didn't want this to be preached. He didn't, because I struggled with it. And everything I heard this morning when I came in was confirmed. Now I know why. Now I know why. Now I know why. But when you play in a position and you're fighting for that position and you got competition beside you, there's no time to be comfortable. You can't relax. You can't let up. You can't take a play off. You can't take a day off. As a coach, that's the worst thing you can do when you're trying to make a team or trying to move up on the depth chart, is to get comfortable and stop preparing, stop learning, stop training, stop pushing to get better every day. You lose. I remember my junior year in college. My junior year in college was the best season I had. I thought about coming out in the draft early that year. And every defensive lineman that stayed for the summer up there had to get up and run with our position coach. And we had to run as a team that afternoon because he was trying to get his health in order. So I got cocky. I'm All-American. I'm the number one vote getter for defensive line in our country. I'm all Southern Conference. I got all this going on. I said, man, I ain't going out there today. I ran this morning. I ran with the coach. So they're having a cookout. We're playing volleyball and in our dorm. And I saw back then that I'll never forget it. It's like it was yesterday. That Maroon 4 Taurus pulled up, and Coach McGill stepped out, and he was every bit about 6'4", about 330. Yeah. Looked at me, dead in my eyes, get in the car. I got in, and I rolled down. He took me down to the practice field by myself, nobody else but me and him. He said, you're gonna run everything you missed that the team ran. And I did. And he got me in the car, and he said, I'm not gonna let you get comfortable. He said, you done worked your butt off way too hard to get in the position that you in to get comfortable and tank it. God sent his son, and he worked his butt off to save each and every one of you. And we get comfortable with the cross. The price that was paid on that cross, we get comfortable. Me included. I'm not sitting up here saying I don't. Me included. Me included. But that was just a little taste of where we're going. You see everything lining up, positions. And when she said that, I was like, oh, Lord, yes. We're in the right place. We're in the right place. Amen? Go, if you can, go to 1 Peter chapter 5. This is our springboard. But I'm going to focus on verse number 10. We're going to read 6 through 10. I'm going to read out the Amplified. Therefore, humble yourselves, demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Be well balanced, tempered, sober of mind. Be vigilant and cautious at all times, that the enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Withstand him. Be firm in faith against his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined, knowing that the same identical suffering are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of Christians throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of grace, who imparts all blessings and favor, who has called you to his own eternal glory in Christ Jesus, with himself complete and make you what you ought to be, established, grounded you securely, strengthen you, and settle you. I got a note here. Christians are to live. This is, are you, after you have suffered a while, is broken down. Christians are to live with the understanding that God's purpose realized in the future requires some pain in this present. While the believer is being personally attacked by the enemy, he is being perfectly perfected by God. I was sitting over there for the last couple of weeks, and the word training kept jumping in my spirit. When he says we're going to suffer, but through all that, God is going to get the glory anyway. As a coach and a player, a coach is trying to import things to the players to make them better, to push them to limits that they've never been pushed before. And it's uncomfortable. I practiced in heat in Alabama back in the day that I go and visit my mom now. I'm like, oh my goodness, how did I make it? You walk out the door and the humidity is so thick, it just take your breath. It does. You felt it this week. Just imagine that year round, even in December. See? But you got coaches that pushed me. Even when I wanted to quit, I had a coach my my first year in arena football in Charlotte, name was Jim Washburn. He's a D-line coach for the Eagles now. And he came to me one day, the day before the game, he said, Tony, has anybody ever told you you soft? What? What, soft? I'm like, no. He said, sometimes you play soft. Let me tell you, that game, when I stepped on that field, I hit everything that moved, from my teammates to the referees to the opposing team. I did. It takes it. That's what the word does. That's what Pastor Paul does when he get in this pulpit. Pastor Callum, Paulie, Jamie, Nikki, and Niggy. That's what we do when we come here. To me, I heard Pastor say this is like the emergency room. To me, it's my training room. It's my training room. As athletes, you have a training room that you go to when you got cuts, nicks, bruises, and you get treatment. This is my training room. In this battle, in this war that we got going on, you're going to get scraped up. You're going to get nicked up. You're going to get bumps and bruises. You're going to feel like those days that I don't want to practice, but you got to come here to church. I understand situation with work and everything, but this is my, when I have to work on a Sunday and miss being here, I'm affected. That's me. I'm affected because I know this is where I get my treatment. Even though I study and I pray and I read the Bible here, but it's just something about being in the presence of God with other believers. So when you're talking about a team and being in a position, you don't understand. You are my team. I need fellow believers because I don't get this at work. I'm in a pit. You don't hear me. I'm in a pit. I'm in the devil's pit every day of the week, at least 6 days out of the week. Sometimes 12, sometimes 24 hours, sometimes 36 hours straight. And I can't come and get no treatment? I need it. I need to be encouraged, just like a coach would encourage you. Just like if your teammates are right there and they say, come on, let's go, we got this. This is what do that for me. It does. But here's the thing. When you're being taught as a player, a coach is trying to teach you something, and it's to better your play or better who you are, not only just on the field, but off the field, you gotta listen. It's a difference in hearing, listening. Somebody could be talking to you, you can hear them, but you ain't listening to a word they saying. And then after they ask you, you hear what I'm saying? Uh-uh. It's a difference in hearing and listening. You can hear the word. Bible tells us to hear the word. But you got to listen with your spirit. I was going to say this at the end, but it's too good right now. I saw this picture, and it had two ears side by side, and it looked like a heart. And in the middle of heart is the word ear. Be careful what enter into your eye gate and ear gate. Heart. So when you listen, when you hear and listen, and it gets in your heart, when the word got into me, really got into me, it got in my heart. That's what changed me. That's what made me say, okay, enough of me, because I was sick of me. So I know he was sick. I know he was. I was sick of me. But get it in your heart. That's what changes you. That's what changes a player when he trusts in what this coach is telling him. The coach is imparting him, okay, I need you to play this gap right here position. This is your position. This is your gap. This is your gap. This is your gap. Okay, if everybody got their right gap, defense, offense, whatever, it's fine. But it takes one person not to do their assignment and be in the wrong place. When you're important and you got your position and it takes one person to be out of the wrong position for something bad to happen on a play, you got to trust what the coach is telling you. You got to trust it. You get some players on the team, it's always one. Coach try and do it and tell him he always going to try and do it his way. It may work a couple times, but when it's on that crucial time that you need him to be in the right place at the right time, he's not. When God positions you in your area where you in your where you live at, your job, your school, you're not there for no reason. You was positioned to be in certain places at a certain time, way before we even knew about it. But he did. He did. That's how God is. So when I was looking at when Jesus started picking the disciples, and I thought about the drafts, how teams go and scout different players from different schools, and they got the combines and all that. Jesus didn't have no combine. Jesus didn't have no scouting report. Nothing. He came down, walked by the guy and said, you. And what'd they do? Didn't even hesitate. Now they knew a little bit about Jesus. They did. But he's showing up and he said, oh, follow me. That's what a coach is trying to tell us. Just follow me. Just follow my lead and I get you there. Just follow my lead and we'll do this thing and we'll get a championship. Just follow his lead. It's too many wasted years I had of my life. The platform that God gave me to be able to come from a little bitty small town in Slocum, Alabama with two official traffic lights. No major food chain stores. Family-owned business. And make it all the way to the NFL. And I took the cross for granted. And I was raised in the church, my grandmother. I was raised in the church. I knew it. I knew about Jesus. I knew God did what he did, sent his only begotten son. I knew all that. Went to vacation Bible schools. Said the Easter speeches on Easter Sunday with the big blue tie with the stacks and bell bottoms. Yeah, y'all know that. Some of that. But I did. I did all that. And he still put me in a position to be successful. And I took the cross for granted. That's why when you hear me in that corner, I'm so passionate. Because that same corner was my stage in the NFL that he wanted me to glorify him then. A lot of my old teammates that see me and see the change in me, they know it's real because they know how I used to be. They know it was real. I was at work last night. And this is a guy, he's an atheist. And I've been knowing him for about 10 years. He'd been there almost 30 years. And he saw me pull my Bible out. I was sitting outside. It was kind of, luckily, one of them quiet couple of hours we get where the kids ain't acting up. So I was sitting out by my truck in my chair, and I was reading. And Normally, he's always trying to get in a butting contest with the words, but I never say anything. I was like, I do him like Jesus did Pilate. I let him rumble, and the thing about it, anytime he would be around me and something like derogatory or vulgar or nasty, he will make sure I hear it. But I never gave in to it. I knew my position. So yesterday, I'm sitting in my chair with my Bible, and he came over, and in my head, I'm like, oh, here we go again. Here we go again. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm reading, you know, my pastor asked me to preach tomorrow. He said, oh, okay. He said, you want me to tell you what y'all to preach about? I said, no. And then he said, no, really. He said, no, really. He said, when you get up there, tell them that I believe Jesus is in me. Don't think your position, where you at, is not important. Don't think that. Where you are at right now is not important. I shook his hand, went up to the conference room on the second floor by myself, and praised God. 10 years. I've been at that job 10 years, on and off 10. He hammered me, and I never gave in to her. I never gave in to her. He see me pull out my Bible yesterday and come and ask me what I was doing. I told him I was supposed to preach for my pastor tomorrow, and he said, let me tell you what you should say. And I'm like, God, don't let him do this right now. Yeah, I did. But tell them that I believe Jesus lives in me. Don't take what he did for granted. Don't you do it. And when, if you do catch yourself doing it, you pray for repentance and forgiveness right then and there. Right then and there. That's like being on a team when you got that one player that won't listen, want to do his own thing. But he starts seeing you do the right things. That's what happened with this gentleman. You change your atmosphere. You change your atmosphere. Like they say some players, they rename or rechange a position. That's what you do. That's what I do every single day. But here's the thing. You gotta trust the coach. You gotta trust what God is telling you. Like pastors say all the times when the Holy Spirit tells them to do something, yeah, it's gonna feel uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable when you gotta go and practice 2 days. No, excuse me, 3 days in 100-degree heat with black helmets and black jerseys on twice a day for 6 weeks. Look at the things that I put my body through. Look at the things that I put my body through to get who I wanted to be. Look at this. Look at the suffering that I did in the natural, the two-day practice, the weight room, the conditioning, the not wanting to go to practice when all my buddies are going somewhere else. It's just so much sacrifice. Don't compare nothing to that. It don't compare anything to the cross. Anything. So when you think it's tough and it's hard and you can't go no more, yeah, you can. We as coaches talk about a second wind. Yeah, you can. We always got a second wind. That's the wind of the Spirit. We always got a second chance. But when you pushed Don't think it as, well, God, are you mad at me? Because when I first started, when a coach would yell at me, I'm thinking, man, he don't like me. And he started yelling and yelling and yelling and yelling and screaming and pushing me. But I had a coach tell me, my high school coach, Coach Lawrence Kraft, he said to me, if a coach ain't yelling and pushing and riding you every single day, he's giving up on you. He's giving up on you. But when you see a coach riding, that's why I get mad when parents, hang on, this is me. When parents get mad when a player is actually pushing your son or daughter to be better, and you get mad, don't you want the best for them? Don't you want them to do their best and be the best that they can? That's what he's doing. That's exactly what God is doing. He gave us his best and expect our best. He gave us his best and expect our best. So don't get mad when you're pushed in a situation that God want to use you. You never know if you're going to get that opportunity again. You never know if you're going to get that opportunity again. Tomorrow's not promised to none of us. It's that old saying, why put off tomorrow what you can do today? Why? We got people around us want to be part of something. They empty. They're a walking shell, need to be filled. They need to be coached just like we need to be coached. You can't pour out unless you feel. I'm going to leave that one alone. You can't. You can't pour out unless you feel. Oh, hallelujah. Go over to Colossians chapter 2. Go to verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ, even Jesus the Lord, so walk, regulate your lives, conduct yourselves in union with one and conformity to him. Have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in him, fixed and founded in him, and being continually built up in him, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and abounding and overflowing in thanksgiving. Walk in him. To walk in Christ is to live a life pattern after his. Walk a life pattern after his. He already told you wouldn't put more on you can bear. He already told you greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He already told you, I knew you'll never leave you nor forsake you without any help or support. He already said, I gave you my spirit. The same spirit that raised him from the dead lives in you. So what's our problem? What's our problem? Think about it. He's given us everything we need. So what's our problem? Us. Us. We need to get out the way. We need to get out the way. We need to get out the way. It's us. It's us. That's us not trusting what the teacher or the coach is telling us. It goes back to that one player always want to do his way. It's always one. In high school, I played against a high school rival in basketball, and it was the whole team. And they were great. But every time their coach would call a play, oh, man, forget him. We're going to do this, da-da. They freelance. It worked for a while till they got to the state playoffs and got blew out because they wanted to do their own thing. Their own way. We can't. We can't. It's some of those. When you got a good coach, no matter how old you are as a player or athlete, you always remember them. I remember every coach that really, really, really pushed me. From the time I was able to play organized football Sandlot football was totally different. No referee. We would just kill a man with the ball. But I started playing organized football at 12. And Coach Birdieshaw came to me and said, you going to play football? He said, you want to play? I'm like, yeah. But my mom wouldn't let me play. I never forget it. I'm pushing my whole uniform on my bike home. And I seen that 72 Ford Torino, 3-speed on the collar, coming down our main highway with our 2 stoplights. And I look at my buddy, I said, this is a short football career. She made me take my pads back the next day, my whole uniform back the next day, to my best friend, Brad Baxter, who played with the Jets for 9 years. His mom went and told him, said, Blondie, if you don't let him play, he's going to find something else to get into. If it's going to keep his grades up, if it's going to keep him in school, if it's going to keep him out of trouble, let him play. She let me play. And Coach Birdieshaw took me under his wing. I got to high school football. It was Lawrence Craft, Coach Snell, and Coach Trayway. That really pushed me because all of them was in the military and all of them had went to college, so they knew. Coach Kraft went to University of Georgia. Coach Snell went to Florida State. Coach Trayway went to Troy University. See how I remember people who pushed me, that helped me along the way? Why we forget him? Why we forget him? When we already been instilled with what we need to make it, when we already got the word, when we already know how to speak the word, we already know how to pray, we know all of this, and yet we still question. Just like a player questioning a coach. Well, why are you calling this play? We need to run this play. This one right here works. Because you're not the coach. You're not the coach. A coach sees things on the field that players can't see. And they sitting up in this booth watching, calculating, picking up little plays here, picking up tendencies here. He in the press box watching down. He know what he doing. He know what he doing. He know exactly what he doing. He know who we going to mess up. He going to know when we want to quit. He know when we get tired. But he said, I'll strengthen you in your weakness. I will empower you. I will lift you up. Not you, I, him. Him. So when you're in those situations and you feel like, well, God, you want me to do it this way. But I really want to do it this way because it ain't coming fast enough. It ain't happening quick enough. You think I went from Pop Warner to the NFL? Come on. You think you went from graduating high school to getting a CEO job? As I tell the guys, you got to put in the work. I don't know what God did when I was 5 and 6 when my grandma used to come and get me from playing that sandlot football, dirty grass stains all over, dirty, dusting my ears and nose, and bring my butt to church. I don't know what God did when I was falling asleep, but he got in. He got in. And I fought with him for a long time. That's what a player do. He'll fight with you till he get tired of it not working his way. I fought with him for a long, long time. But something got in me at 5 and 6 years old that a lot of my buddies that was getting in trouble doing stuff, I couldn't do it. It was something in me said, no, don't you do that. My grandmama positioned me as a kid. She positioned me to say, look, this is the way we live. This is the right way. This is the right way. Position. What position are you taking? What position are you playing? What position are you playing? Are you one of those players just happy to be on the team with a uniform on? So you can run through the tall and be the first one to bust through the little signs. In high school, I had them. You have them. They just happy to be on the team. Don't just be happy to be on the team. You go and fight for your position so you can play. I hate sitting on the bench. The same way I hated sitting on the bench as an athlete, I hate sitting on the bench when I see wrong, when I see evil in the way, when I see wrong again being done. I'm going to speak. Whether they like it or not, I'm going to speak. Closed mouths can't get fed. Open your mouth. Open it. I refuse, my job is where I'm supposed to be. My teammate that I won my championship out, the arena football championship out, is a coach for the Philadelphia Souls, offered me a D-line job. And God knows I wanted to go coach. God knows I wanted to go coach. And when I got home that night, he said, it's not your time yet. That's why I didn't get upset when I didn't get the Albany Empire job. He told me, it's not your time. I got you in a position I need you in right now. Where you at? And every day I see who I say, Lord, I see why. I see why. I told you some stories about that. Don't tell me you ain't got a position to play in this walk. Woo! Don't tell me you don't have a position to play in this walk. Because God didn't save you just for you. Say that again. God didn't just save you for you. You got a position to play. You got a position to take a stand. And if we need a stand more than any, which is a goal line stand right now, with the things that's going on, not only in just the world, but in this city, but since it's not happening in a lot of our neighborhoods, we don't take it serious. And if you don't take it serious and take your position and start speaking the word of God and praying over these people, it's going to creep up on you and be sitting next to you. How you doing? It's going to creep up on you. Take a stand. When all you can do, stand there for and let him do. Woo! Let him do. Just sit back. All you got to do is be obedient and listen. Because you've been trained. You got the best personal trainer you could ever have. And that's the Holy Ghost. But just like a physical personal trainer, you got to listen to him. You got to listen to him. You got to follow his instructions. Because if not, you're just wasting money. You see no change. With the Holy Spirit training you, you'll see change. You'll see change. Amen? In Proverbs 22:17-19, it says, hold fast to the teachings of Jesus. It's what produces in us and around us a successful life. Not only just here. See, our ultimate victory and our ultimate goal and the ultimate prize for as a believer is when we get to heaven. When I say the most wonderful feeling I got as far as being an athlete is when we won this championship in 2001. When you hear the player say you can't describe the feeling and the emotions of all those practices, all those seasons when you didn't do well, all the weightlifting, all the traveling, all the getting up at 5 a.m. after you just got beat 52-10. When you got a season, my rookie year in Atlanta, we 3-13. When you go through all of that, and you finally get on a team, and you win that championship, it's an indescribable feeling. It really is. It is a great feeling. It is a wonderful feeling. But it can't compare. It cannot compare to when we get to heaven. But are you going to continue to put in the work to get there? Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Now again in the Amplified. And he said to all, if any person will come after me, let him deny himself, disown himself, forget and lose sight of himself, his own interests, refuse and give up himself, and take up his cross daily and follow me, cleave steadfastly to me, confirm wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in dying also. I got three questions. What is a disciple? What is your cross? Why would Jesus choose to entrust those who would follow him to take up their cross daily? God saw something in each and every one of us. He said before we were formed in our mother's womb, he already knew us. I think when he sent Jesus down and he started picking the disciples, he already knew what they was going to do before he even picked them. That's just me. But everybody has a position. Everybody has a position. Judas had a position, and that was the betrayer. Peter had a position, and that was the denying. Thomas doubted him. But when Jesus arose, go tell my disciples and Peter. To be honest with you, we all have been a Peter once. Because I know early when I got born again, that denying, they asked me if I'm a Christian. Yeah, I go to church. But I remember when I first started coming here, and they had the back row, and I would come in and I would sit at the back, the last, the very back. Then I moved up in all the back rows to the front of the back. Then as I kept coming, I moved up into the middle of the front. Now, I'm at the front because I don't want to miss 1 ounce of what God want to do with me when I come in here. Because God knows he know I need it. And I don't want to miss none of it. I want to feel the power of the Holy Ghost so strong, that's why I get up here as close as I can. Stop being bashful. Stop being timid. As the coach told me, quit being soft. Let the Holy Spirit have his way in you in here. I feel that in my spirit, people in here fighting the Holy Ghost every time they come in here because they don't want to be embarrassed of what he might do. Woo! I don't care no more. I don't care what people think about me no more. I don't care about how people think I act or how I speak or how I live my life. You didn't give it to me. He did. When you come to this place, get all you can from God. And when you leave this place, you pour out everything he gave you so he can fill your butt up again. If you're in a backslidden state, or you really haven't been trusting God like you should, or you just want to be refreshed, and you want God to give you that boldness that you talk about. You should already have it, but you're lacking right now and you want it. You got people chirping in your ear, trying to get you to live one way, but you know to live the other way. I've been there. I'm upset when the Holy Spirit moved on me so strong, all I could do was cry. And I fought it. For years, because all I could think about was me and what I was going to do when I got out of church, who I was going to go hang with after I got out of church. But God is calling you back to him today. Tomorrow's not promised to none of us, but come today with an open heart and an open spirit to receive what he has. To receive the greatest gift that we could ever receive, the gift of Jesus Christ. That's who walks with us. That's who covers us. That's who protects us. That's who intercedes for us. That's who heals us. That's who blesses us. That's who covers us. That's who washes us from all our sins. That's the one that said, I'm here for you. I got you. Yeah, you fell. You slipped. But I got you. Here's my hand. Get your butt up. I'm going to pat you on the back. I'm going to pat you on the butt and put you right back in the game. Let's go. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, I hope you've been blessed today. We ask you, Lord, that even as we leave this place, we trust in you. We believe in what you were, your word says. We believe everything that you've promised is ours. Touch each and every one of these people here today, Lord, and the people that are watching and listening around the world. I thank you, Father God, that you showed us the way. You showed us the way. Help us to stay in our position. Help us to be teachable. Help us to learn in those teachable moments when you're trying to teach, and help us to be obedient and walk in the ways that you will want us to do. Be with each and every one of us during our week, oh God. When we have the opportunity to spread your love and your word, help us to be bold. Help us to be courageous, because you set that divine moment at that time to be able to impart to people that are thirsty and hungry, Lord, for you, but they don't know how. That's why you put us in positions to be able to minister the gospel, to be an extension of Pastor Paul and Pastor Kelly and Harvest Church hand, to reach places that they don't ever get a chance to reach. That's our position. That's our position. We thank you for it. We bless you. We honor you, oh God, for your word that you can praise. You're so worthy. You're so worthy, Lord. You're so worthy. You're so worthy. Woo! Bless your holy name, Jesus. Bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be blessed. Take the Lord in the name of the Lord with you and be on fire. Amen. Thank you.